This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rop and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
What it do?
Ahoy.
Sabra.
Wait, it's worse outside.
Oh, isn't it, though?
This
you know
is,
my wife told me today?
Perfect.
She said this is her favorite kind of day.
Little cold, but sunny.
Yeah, she likes cold, crisp, sunny days. May God bless you.
Excuse me. That is, it is crisp outside.
Yeah, she loves this.
You can go light jacket. You can go long sleeve t-shirt, shorts, pants. You
it's
know
a nice day, but look, I mean, I think she's out to lunch, but.
Look, I prefer it to be warm, but I will say a day like this, it really opens up the entire wardrobe. You can kind of go with whatever you want. The closet is at your full disposal.
I saw your closet today.
the arsenal is all there.
I have a suggestion for you, though.
What do you got?
First of all, was that the $1,000 bag?
It was not $1,000, but that is the bag that I get a lot of scrutiny
It is the $1,000 bag.
So you did...
Not $1,000.
On social media, you posted your...
I have to do a show minute
your thingy.
Every day. Yeah.
And today
which
was
I
live.
Have been doing.
Yeah.
I've kept it up.
I'm stunned. We've already hit the over on the bets of over-under how many you're going to do.
You've only missed one so far.
I missed one. I will tell you, there are days it's like 215, 220, and I'm like, oh, crap, I got to do one of these.
There are days when it's 257 and you go, oh, crap, I got to do one.
Now, are they effective?
I have no idea. The boss, look.
Does he love them?
All I know is there is an edict from up above, and I am meeting that. We have a new boss, and I think she's leaning on everyone, and that trickles down, and I'm doing it.
You know, I have a horrible take on just the idea of that,
yeah,
which is why I refuse to do it, is that I think it's cool that you're doing it, but I do not think it changes a thing about anyone's day because I just go off of how I go about my day.
Yeah.
And if I go on, let's say I pop on Twitter or something,
sure,
and I see my favorite radio show host going, hey, do-do-do-do-da-da-da, and this is what we have on today's show, that will not get me to tune in or tune out. I'm either going to listen today because I have the, like, I'm in the car and I happen to be, that's how I listen to you. Yeah. Or in other words, like, if I say, hey, we're going to have Cato Kalin on tomorrow at whatever time, people might like to hear that, but I seriously don't believe that anyone is going to be like, oh, I'm going to tune in right at 6:15 so we can, so I can listen to Isaac and Suk interview Cato Kalin.
I'm not going to agree or disagree with you. All I know is this came from above me.
No,
and
I understand.
I am told what to do, and I do it. So I would like to say to our bosses who think this is important, great idea, bosses. Love doing it.
I just don't think that stuff matters. However, what does matter, what I do think is good, is that, you know, your beautiful mugs out there, and people are seeing it every day, and you're just like, oh, yeah, I got to turn on Isaac and Suk.
There it is.
You know? So that does help. You know, you get the social media presence. Anyway, you were in your closet today.
Yeah. I've been in the closet for years.
And that was the, yes, we know, the $1,000 bag above you.
Not $1,000, but all right.
But that was it?
That's the bag.
Okay.
Yeah.
Suggestion.
What do you got?
Hangers.
So here's the thing.
You kind of just like shoved it up into the top of the closet there.
Well, wooden hangers for the bag?
No. I'm saying for your clothes.
Yeah.
Oh.
I've switched gears already.
Yeah. Rob's moved on from the bag.
I caught an exclusive. When we were at Pac-12 Media Day.
Yeah.
Because we had already checked out of our hotel rooms, our bags were all there on the set of the show.
Yeah.
And I caught a picture of it, and I snapped a picture of it to the people.
Well, you remember,
they've seen it.
You remember when we checked in, and we our hotel room wasn't ready, so we had to leave it at the front desk at the porter. And what did the porter say? He was like,
"Is this thing $1,000?"
And he was like, "That is a great bag. Where did you get it?" And I said, "Thank you. It is a great bag." And I told him where I got it.
And I said, "It cost $1,000."
You did. It's a great bag.
You can't afford it.
So, no, the bag just sits in the top of the closet. I did recently upgrade all my hangers, and I've just yet to make the switch over, over from the plastic ones. So down below on the other side of the closet, I have 100 brand new. I did half wooden and half of the felt.
Yeah.
And I just haven't
felt.
Yeah. Like where they're, they're felt hangers.
You have felt hangers.
Yeah. So I did.
Whoa.
I did half for the wooden ones for thicker ones like jackets.
I feel like that's pretty kinky.
And sweaters, and then the other half were felt. I got them on Amazon.
Felt.
And I just need to go through. This is how lazy I am. I did this like 3-4 weeks ago that I bought these. And what I'm doing is as, if you look in there, you can see them. As I wear something, when I take it off and then put it back on, then I switch over to one of the new hangers. And I figure eventually all the new hangers will get used. I'm just too lazy to sit down and actually make all the switch.
Well, that was more info than I needed. I was just saying the first thing I noticed when I saw you live from your closet today.
Yeah, plastic hangers.
Was you have plastic hangers. And I thought, he's got the upgrade.
I understand. And I have.
Yeah, that's good. Good for you. Wooden hangers are where it's at.
Can I ask the question why? Because I use plastic hangers. There's no issues.
There aren't.
They're way better, though.
But
especially
wooden hangers do less hanger tees.
Yep.
You know, like when you get the little...
The little nooks.
Yeah.
Yep. And for the...
They do a better job of eliminating those, and they're just cooler.
If you've got, like, thicker sweaters and jackets
baller.
And all that, they really do make a difference.
For all those people who are looking at your wooden hangers.
Well, like, say you're showing your house or something. You have the nicest house of any of us, Mike. I mean, you should know this. Like, there are certain things you have to be a baller.
I haven't shown the house or into anything, really.
One of them is wood hangers for your clothing.
Yeah, they are nice. I mean, I can't make fun of it because I bought them. And
have some wood hangers for jackets.
And they're not really expensive.
Because they don't break.
But to be honest with you, I like the metal and the felt ones better. So the felt ones are just metal, and they have, like a velvet sort of thing that goes over it. And I actually like those better than the wooden hangers, and they're a third of the cost.
Well, anyway, the sun is out, and my wife thinks that this is like the best day, and I'm just like, man, that's stupid. And I chastise her for that because she only says that because the sun's out.
Yeah.
And when the sun's out, it changes everything.
Well, especially because it's been so crappy, and all of a sudden you get this. It's
like we're not greedy right now. Yeah. All we're looking for is a little sun. We got it, and now we're ecstatic. Let's not go so far as to say this is the greatest type of day.
No, but
because it's not.
I will tell you that women, I think more so than men, like these sorts of days because it's about accessories. You can wear you can wear scarves and you can layer and there's like a poncho involved and
if you're a fashionista,
it's
that's
a whole
true.
Thing. Because when it's
true.
Warm, women I think feel very limited in what they can wear. But in a day like this is where I went with the whole wardrobe is open.
Yeah.
And I think that may be an element too.
And I don't know
why they like this sort of day.
I don't know if your lady is like this, but my wife, man, when it gets hot, she gets cranky.
Yeah.
She hates it.
Yeah. See, and this is why maybe a today, you know, is indeed her favorite day, I think.
Because there's makeup and,
there's sweat.
It's
a thing.
Yeah, you're right. That's.
I prefer the heat. My brother's like that. If it gets above like 80 degrees, my brother just bitches and moans the entire time. Mm. Like he cannot handle when it's hot out. Again, there goes the sweat and he's a large, girthy individual. It takes a certain type of person to appreciate the heat. My perfect day is probably somewhere in the high 80s, low 90s.
Whoa.
And some people would think I'm crazy for that.
Yeah, I think you're crazy for that. I mean, it's clearly,
72 degrees.
Yeah, if you're 70 to mid 70s, you're fine.
Yeah, I mean, you're fine, but we've talked about this. If you're out near the water or you're hanging out, because my perfect day doesn't mean going to work, and if I'm going to have the day off, I'd rather have it be hot and be near some water than be 72 degrees. I like it when the heat gets cranked up.
Look, we agree to disagree on this, Jace.
Understand.
I think that's insane. But, look, it's a nice day out there for the most part. The sun is out. It makes you feel better. You get a little pep in your step out there when you're walking, riding your bike, or you're driving around, maybe even crack the window. It's just exciting.
I did roll down the window today when I was driving.
It's an exciting time.
Feels good.
To be alive. Okay. Oh, Jason Quick, 3:30.
Yeah. Turn and burn today, 5:30.
Yeah, we're off at 5:30 because the Ducks are on.
Yeah, the people demand it. Although I will tell you.
No, they don't.
They do.
No, they don't.
The buzz. I'm going to break people's hearts, though.
There is no buzz.
I believe this is
the
last early off show for us because of Oregon Duck basketball.
Unless the Pac-12 tournament has anything to say about that.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
It's the last regular season game because the last two are 7:30 pregames.
Wait, we're playing the Pac-12 tournament?
Well, the Ducks games of the Pac-12 tournament.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just the Ducks games.
Yes.
Okay.
So if the Ducks were to advance and make a run, then in theory we could have another short show. But and more than likely, this will be it.
You know who they play tonight?
No, I don't know who they play.
USC, bro.
Oh, did you see?
It's a big game.
Did you happen to see the picture of the Washington State crowd last night by any chance?
No.
I don't know. I follow Theo Lawson. He writes for the Spokesman Review.
Who were they playing?
They were playing Colorado.
Ooh,
and they knocked them off. Washington State is actually playing pretty well, all things considered right
didn't
now.
Didn't they just beat Oregon State in Corvallis?
Yeah, and they almost knocked off UW. I think they beat Arizona.
They beat both Arizona schools.
The Arizona schools.
Wait, what is this? Is like out of nowhere. I thought Ernie Kent was terrible, and they were horrible.
They were awful.
I think they gave Ernie Kent an extension.
Dude, it was.
They did?
I think so.
They were horrific at the start of the year, but they're actually playing pretty well. But I follow one of the writers from up in Spokane, and he covers their games, and it's been kind of a running joke, and I feel bad for it, but he always tweets out a guess the crowd attendance at Washington State.
Uh-oh.
And it's so bad. It's embarrassing. And it's not like,
well, why would anyone go watch them?
Well, it's just, it's so weird to realize that is a Pac-12 basketball game that's going on. And they always show it like right before the tip or when the team's running out of the tunnel. I don't know how you get up for that. I'm not joking when I say that you could probably count just from his photo. Now, that doesn't count for, you know, maybe who's behind him, but he takes it from about midway up. Look up Theo Lawson on Twitter. And I think there's maybe 250, 300 people there. It's embarrassing how bad it is up there. And he always asks people to guess the announced attendance.
Well, can you just count them on there? Oh, the announcement.
The announced.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Look at that.
That's during the game?
That's during the game.
You can count. I mean,
honestly,
it will take a few seconds.
It would take, but you. Am I lying when I say that you could count individually the number of people that are there?
Good heavens.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
that's
this is
crazy.
And this is every home game he does this. He sends out a photo.
I guess my question is, what are those people doing there?
I don't know. But like, how do you recruit? Like, if you're Washington State, I get that they stink. But how do you, like, when you bring a recruit into town, I don't think you can take him to that game, can you? Like, you can't have him like, hey, can we go watch the team play? No, no. Let's just go get you drunk in Pullman.
Now, does he actually say on there how many it was?
Yeah, he always announces the attendance. I think this last one, I think they announced like 2,000. And there's 2,000 people there.
Please, there's like
maybe
150.
Maybe 250. Maybe if you count that maybe there's some people behind him.
I love that this guy throws out, he says he'll give you a free retweet if you get it right.
Yeah, here it is. They announced the attendance of 2,072.
No chance.
Horse
no chance.
Nears,
but that's paid
2,
attendance.
That's paid attendance.
Yeah. So
horse
people
nears, there's 2,000 people.
So
there.
The question is, which is more? People who bought tickets and didn't show up, or people who showed up?
Bought tickets and didn't show up.
Yeah, I think there are more people that have tickets that didn't go.
I think there's less than 400 people there very easily.
How many students have season tickets that they purchased before the year and then they just don't go to the games anymore?
Well, saying is if they're having a paid attendance of 2,000 and change, there's no way there's more than 400 people in there. So there's way more people that either got tickets or bought tickets, somehow counted that attendance and didn't show up than that are in that arena. I mean, you can go to any high school game, a decent high school from any area, and have a better crowd than that.
They beat Colorado last night.
Yeah.
Big win.
Yeah, they're playing well.
Well, I mean, I guess they're 11-15, which for Ernie Kent's pretty good, I guess.
Yeah, they are. Look, in this year of
Pac-12
basketball, that's just like bleh, Washington State. Washington State right now is playing well.
Man, you recreated a drop.
Yes, I did.
Bleh, bleh,
bleh.
All right, we got to go. So listen, we've got Jason Quick at 3:30. We're off the air at 5:30. Tomorrow is Wizard World Portland, the live broadcast. Cato Caitlin will be on.
So who knows what the hell is going to happen?
It's going to be crazy
on that
tomorrow.
Program. We have been confirmed for Cato Caitlin.
Yeah, he's going to come by, which is fun.
I don't even
like him.
I don't. don't know where this is going to go.
No, I don't either. That's what's fun about it.
Let's just kind of play
by ear. He seems like he's a pretty cool dude.
I feel like he's going to have a pretty good sense of humor about who Cato Caitlin is.
Well, if he doesn't, we're going to beat it into him.
That's true.
Because he's going to need one.
Well, we're not going to take it seriously.
So, if you had Jim Boeheim running over Zion Williamson in your headline pool, you win.
Boy, how about that?
Boeheim killing Zion Williamson last night.
I don't think it was him, but yeah, Brick did kill a guy. That is a horrible, tragic story. And that, I got to believe that haunts you forever if you're Jim Boeheim. But even though it doesn't sound like he did anything wrong, holy hell. And then, of course, the real tragedy. Did you know Zion Williams is dead? I think he died like 7 times last night.
Yeah, we'll get to that next. And then Jason Quick on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Blazers talk coming up 3:30 with Jason Quick. He's at 3:30 because we're off the air at 5:30 due to Ducks basketball. I was just looking at Ernie Kent at Washington State. He has gone 56-91.
Good. That program has fallen into disarray. Good.
56-91. He's won 20 games total in 5 seasons in the Pac-12. I don't know how he's still there. I mean, because you can't say that it's like, well, you know, you can't win there. And
well, Bennett did.
Exactly. Both that's what Bennett's I'm saying. Did. Like Tony Bennett went 69-33. He was only there 3 years and went 69-33.
Yeah. Well, Tony Bennett, though, is a pretty special guy, and look at what he's built. And
yeah, I guess so.
In Virginia, the problem is, and this is what we've talked about a lot of times with the Washington States of the world, and I think Oregon State falls into this, you know, maybe even the Arizonas, you know, the lesser, let's say, non-blue bloods, is that even if you hit a home run and you hire the right guy, can you keep him there? Which is why if you're football, Mike Leach is such an interesting one because he scares off. He's good. He makes you relevant. But I think he scares off a lot of big-time programs.
So you're saying that it's better to just let this continue with Ernie Kent and see if he can't get it on the right track?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying at Washington State, that's the – in schools like that, it's really hard to find
– Oh, no, I get that.
To find the right fit. But, no, I mean it, –
it's almost like they've given up.
Well, I mean, Ken Bone was horrific there too, right? Like, I don't remember –
The Boner.
Yeah, I don't think the – because he was before Kent, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I forgot about that. They did have him in there, didn't they?
Yeah, and he wasn't any good. From what I remember.
You can't Google him because Ken Bone, the guy from the debates, comes up.
Oh, yeah. The weird, he had that, like, the red shirt, right? Wasn't that the old Ken Bone thing?
Ken Bone. Okay, here we go. Ken Bone at Washington State, 80-86.
Okay, so 500.
He had 1 year where they went to the semis of the NIT. They won 22 games, but.
So his last.
He did better than Ernie Kent did.
Yeah, I'm looking here. His last couple years, he was 10-21, 13-19.
That's which is basically what Kent's doing.
Yeah.
And he got fired. That's just weird.
Well, I think there's
a
lot of.
Jordan Kent could do a better job.
I think there's a lot of people calling for Ernie Kent to be fired.
Are they?
Yeah. Like he's under a lot of pressure. I see Furness tweeting about this a lot. That, well, I mean, if you're a Coug, you know, it's embarrassing that's where your program's
at. Why
don't
they fire him?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a money thing. I'm not sure what he's making, if he's got a long-term contract. I know money's tied up there. But it's bad. It's bad when you have that kind of apathy and you literally have a couple hundred people showing up to a basketball game when your team's playing pretty well. That's not getting it done.
Well, last night, and I was, you know, partially being serious when I said if you had Jim Boeheim killing a guy, knocking Zion Williamson off the top headline at college basketball, you'd be a winner. That's crazy.
That is insane.
But that's what happened.
Yeah, I guess Boeheim was leaving late at night, driving home after the Syracuse game. They just got done beating Louisville, I think, right? And I guess there was a car accident. A guy was walking down the highway after they had wrecked his car, and Boeheim swerved to miss the accident. And when he swerved to miss the accident, he hit the guy and killed him. Like he called 911. The police showed up. Boeheim had no alcohol in his system. He 0.0. And no charges or anything filed. It sounds like a horrible, horrible tragedy. And I guess he went to address the team today but didn't stay for practice. I mean, I got to believe that sticks with you, I mean, forever. I mean, even though you didn't do anything wrong and it was a freak accident, I'm certain that is not something that you just shrug off.
Yeah, everybody's saying that Ernie Kent can't be bought out because They get Bill Moose gave him a massive contract.
We'll look and see what his contract is. See what he's got going on.
Well, anyway, yeah, that's an unfortunate thing for Boeheim up there.
ESPN moved College Game Day out of Syracuse to Bristol this week. It was going to be for Syracuse Duke on Saturday.
Yeah.
And they're not even sure if he's going to coach that game. So.
Yeah. And by the way, Ernie Kent had his contract rolled over in 2017. So he's there till 2022, fully guaranteed $1.4 million a year. So
he's there till 2022,
unless you can buy out.
There's that extension.
$1.5 million for the next. Well, I mean, I guess this is 2018 to the 2019 season. So you got 3 years left at 1.4 that you got to buy out if you're going to get rid of him. Cause it does say fully guaranteed.
You know, he was at St. Mary's for 6 years. Did you know that?
Yeah, that was before Oregon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he was there that long. 6 years, he went 90 and 80 mm-hmm. at St. Mary's.
And he had success at Oregon, not...
I mean, Excuse you.
They were good. They
Two
were
elite eights,
they
bro.
They were inconsistent. The always thing about Ernie Kent is that he could recruit, but maybe not the greatest X's and O's guy. And you're not going to be able to recruit big-time talent on a consistent basis to Washington State. So... maybe therein lies the downfall.
Well, anyway, they should probably, you know, look to upgrade there, but I get it. Financials.
Yeah.
You know.
Money's tight. Good thing you got that Pac-12 deal that's just rolling in fresh cash, right?
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a whole segment planned for that.
Yeah.
That's the Pac-12 Network.
Boy, that's a boondoggle.
But that's going to have to wait. And this is probably the point in the show where we should begin discussing what we think Zion Williamson should do, because that matters. Right.
I honestly, yesterday we talked about the whole Mike Tyson thing when I said I can't remember someone that is more glorified for doing the legend didn't meet the reality of it.
Well, look, let's just call it what it is. You said he's overrated and you called him a bitch.
I did.
It was a fine primetime moment yesterday. If you
yeah,
missed it.
It was. And I am equally as shocked because
Merry Christmas, bitch.
I don't remember a story quite like this one where someone got a very minor injury and people are acting like this is A, going to take down the NCAA, B, going to take down Nike, C, Zion Williamson should never play college basketball ever again, D, it's going to eliminate the one and done forever and no kid should ever go play college basketball. And by the way, Zion Williamson may never play again, even though he has a mild grade one sprain of his MCL and he's day to day. Jesus, people.
Well,
he's not dead.
Not yet.
Not dead yet and feeling better.
Jim Boeheim might get him.
He had a shoe blowout. And by the way, that's not the first time that someone's blown out a shoe.
Well, I think what you're getting at is that social media is a beating. This is a social media thing. Seriously, this is what happens because it was a big moment and everybody was watching college basketball. And then in the first 30 seconds, he goes down in a heap. And it looked bad. I mean, it looked like... because that's what it looks like when a guy tears his ACL and he's out a year.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
But there were reports that he was running and jogging in the hallway.
No, I know, but this is social
like,
media, though.
Stay out.
This is what happens. Yeah. It's like we get sucked in to the immediate, you know, hot takes of social media, man.
So he was playing in Paul George's sneakers.
We got to do better about that. We got to do better about backing off.
My two favorite that I saw was one, Carlos Boozer tweeting to the Zion's National Park. Wishing a speedy recovery, to which the national park was like, hey, we're gonna be okay, trust me. And then Paul George, whose shoes that Zion was playing in, was like, hey man, I just wanted to know that I'm there for him through this time, through his recovery of his
good for him
mild day-to-day knee sprain. Paul George is right there for him.
I thought those shoes were ugly. Can I say that?
Yeah, you can say that.
Yeah, I didn't like those.
Don't say that to Paul George.
And why is it always the left one? Come on, Nike.
Yeah.
He blew out the left one.
Well.
Everybody hates lefties.
Someone's got to get fired for it. And my guess is a 12-year-old Filipino kid that probably put those shoes together.
12?
He's the one that's in real trouble today.
I'm going she, and she's five tops. Yeah, all right. Well, we'll get into that later. Let's move on because Jason Quick, our athletic Blazers insider, is coming up next. Blazers have a very big road trip that begins tonight. And there was some chatter that Damian Lillard might not play. He's got an ankle injury. What the hell's going on out there? Brooklyn. What's going on out there?
Well, we got someone to ask.
Yeah, and we'll do that next. Here's Mike.
I finally feel like they're using Evan Turner correctly.
The ultimate insider on Portland basketball and the NBA.
This is probably the most dynamic second unit.
This is the Blazer Fan Insider with Jason Quick of The Athletic. Brought to you on The Fan by Change Realty, home of the 1% listing fee.
All right, well, the All-Star break is over, and the Blazers are back at it tonight in Brooklyn. Here is Jason. Are you with the team, or are you here?
No, I'm in Portland.
Oh, okay. So you haven't met Enes Kanter yet?
I have not, no. Seems like a real jovial type guy.
Yeah, he does. He seems like he's got a great personality, and it's almost odd to me how much he's really embracing coming to Portland. Like, he's just like... he's all about it.
Well, he chose it, right?
I mean, he's really into it. It's interesting.
Well, he was on the Knicks.
That's true.
And he's joining a very good team where he'll have a very defined role, team that should make the playoffs. That's something that players, as they get later in their career, really value. Chance to go to the playoffs in a defined role. So I think it's a good situation for him.
When you look at this road trip, what we got, 7 in a row, should I say we, because apparently I'm there playing small forward for them. The Blazers have 7 in a row. And I think every one of them is just a day off in between. What's a successful trip here?
I think if they get 3, that'll be a passable trip. And then if they get 4, it's a very good trip. And they caught a real break in that Saturday morning's game. Joel Embiid will be out for the Sixers. That's a huge, huge break for them. So I think there's a chance that they can go get 4 wins on this.
So the Blazers, just to reset, they are 4th in the West. If you haven't been following, they are only a game up on Houston and then 2 up on Utah and San Antonio. The Blazers are 34-23, but their road record is not good. They're 10-15. Do you see something different with them on the road this year? How do you explain their poor road record?
Well, I mean, historically, this has been a poor team. I don't know how to explain it, Isaac. I think at different times, it's different things that kind of haunt them. But I think one thing that has really been inconsistent, particularly on the road, has been CJ. They need him to play well to win on the road, and I think he's had some real stinkers on the road. So I think these final 25 games, it would really help them if they get a more consistent CJ McCollum.
Do you think there's a confidence? Is it a health thing? What exactly has been – remember a couple years ago we talked about this with Lillard, like something just felt off, and something feels off with CJ this year.
Yeah, I don't know how to explain. I think the biggest thing you can point to is his role has changed a little bit. Remember last year, he was kind of the QB of the second unit, and he had 6 to 7 minute stretches where the ball was in his hands completely. And as everyone knows, when the ball is in his hands, usually that's going to mean a shot. And this year, he's not playing with the ball in his hands a lot, so that means he has to run around, he has to get open, or his teammates have to get him open, and that's a little bit harder to get a shot off. And the shots that he is getting, he might have a guy in his face a little bit more often than when he's breaking a guy down and creating his own space.
Jason Quick is here with us on the MVP HomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. Blazers, about said Knicks, but they're at the Nets tonight, starting a big 7-game road trip. So how do you feel like, I mean, I know stats won't tell you, but do you have a sense at all, or maybe I can ask you what you would do with the new guys? You got Rodney Hood sliding in there. You got Jake Lehman really playing well, and now you got to slide in Kanter. How do you think he's gonna juggle it all?
Yeah, I'm really curious. I think it's time that Jake Lehman starts. The metrics and the analytics with him playing with Nurk, CJ, and Dame is off the charts. I think they're like a plus 41 with him on the court with those guys, and he's earned it. Maurice Harkless, I think he's got enough time to get the benefit of the doubt with his injury and stuff. It doesn't look like he's going to be the old Mo, that, the game-changing defender, the explosive guy on the offensive glass. I think there's too much at stake on this season to keep waiting and hoping that Maurice Harkless shows something. So I think Jake has earned that. if it's not Jake, I think Rodney Hood has shown that he's very capable, a very solid offensive guy, and he's surprisingly decent on defense. He can switch, and he's long. So I think a change will probably come at some point. I don't know if he'll do it tonight. And then I think it's going to be real interesting to see what he does with Evan Turner. Since Rodney Hood has come on the four games that he has played with the Blazers, the biggest guy, the guy who's suffered the most is Evan Turner. He's averaged about 7 minutes less than his season average since Hood has come. And nobody has taken a bigger minutes hit than Evan Turner. So that tells me that, you know, Stotts isn't real confident in his playmaking or his shot making, the way he can space. And I said this last week, I thought it was real interesting in the Blazers game at Oklahoma City where Stotts opened the fourth quarter. The game had gotten real tight. I think it was a 5-point game. And he opened the fourth quarter with Rodney Hood initiating the offense from point guard, kind of what Evan Turner usually did. Now, he only did it for about 3 or 4 possessions, but I think that's something that he might tinker with going down the stretch. And if that happens, then I think Evan Turner gets phased out a little more. But the guys who look like they're getting pushed out, Myers Leonard is out of the rotation now, no question about that. And I think Seth Curry is going to see little to no minutes. And I think Evan Turner as well, as I just said, is kind of getting phased out.
Well, I guess I got to follow up on that. And because you know Evan Turner well, is that going to be a problem or will he handle that like a pro? Because he seems like a pretty good guy, but the last thing you need now is a veteran who's whining about minutes and kind of causing a stir in the locker room.
Well, I think any one of these guys is going to be mad and upset about that. And I think that's an okay thing, but it's when you start belly aching or pouting and going into your own kind of little cocoon or kind of start whispering to teammates in the locker room, that's when it becomes a problem. And I do not think Evan Turner will be that way. Evan has been very consistent in saying, I don't care what my numbers are. I just want to win. And he truly, truly believes that. I mean, he's bitched to me throughout his 3 years here, just about role, about shots, about how fans perceive him. He's done a lot of that, but he's always said, but I don't care. As long as we win, that's all that matters to me. And I truly, truly believe it, because we've had some pretty frank conversations about things, and he has always come back to, I don't care as long as we win.
You know, we've had this discussion so many times, and I think that's one of those things that people can't quite put their finger on with Terry Stotts is the rotation and some guys falling out. Why? But when everyone asks him about it, why is he so sensitive? Is that something that goes across NBA coaches, or is that kind of unique to him? Because I feel like anytime someone brings up at all, not even like a challenge, just asks a question about why someone is or isn't playing, he gets beyond all red-assed on you.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, and I don't like to make things about me. Usually it's me who's asking him those kind of pointed questions. And I think it's personal. He's made it personal. I don't think he likes me. And so I think that's why he gets a little defensive and a little short when he asks those things. But I don't know. It's not to say that I'm the only one, but most of the time it's me asking, and that, I think that chaps him. But he's just kind of that way. He is so afraid of offending his players or saying something that might, hurt their feelings. And, this is the pros. I think fans deserve some kind of insight into why he makes certain decisions. And I don't get it, but he's coach of the team and he gets to make those type of decisions.
So my opinion is, well, I mean, we all know, I mean, if you listen to our show, the Blazers have one star and a bunch of role guys, and they've added, a couple more role guys. And so that's good. The depth is there. The Cantor thing is exciting, and then Hood, and then, of course, the emergence of Lehman. But can you pinpoint a couple things to watch over the last 25 games or so that tells a guy like me that maybe this is different come playoff time? Because I still, even with the additions, don't have much faith.
Yeah, number one, their defense. Their defense has to be better. We make a lot of Are we paid a lot of attention to the sweep by New Orleans last year and how they shut down Lillard and everybody else? But people forget New Orleans picked apart this defense. I mean, Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis, Mirotić, they had their way with Portland in the series, and Portland couldn't do anything to combat that. They didn't make adjustments. So, and this year, statistically, Portland's worse on the defensive end. So I think these next 25 games, how good a defense are they playing? And are these new guys, you know, Cantor's not really known as a defender. How good is Hood at switching and shutting down some pretty high-powered small forwards in the West that they're going to have to go up against? So I think number one is defense, and then two, can these reserve guys hit the three consistently? Is Lehman ready to hit a big shot late in the fourth quarter? How does he use Curry? You know, because that's going to be a big thing, is do they have enough shooters on the court at the end of games? And Curry obviously is among the leaders in three-point shooting, but is he good enough to be out there for fourth quarter minutes? We don't know. Rodney Hood, the kind of knock on him has been that he shied away from big moments, hasn't performed in big moments. And these are guys that are probably going to have to play in the fourth quarter. And so I think, are other guys outside of Lillard able to hit big shots late in games? And is the defense, how do they look? Are they looking like, a tough group? Can they make adjustments? Can they switch? All those kind of things. Those two things, though, are the biggest that I would be looking at in these final 25.
All right, read Jason Quick's coverage of the Blazers on The Athletic. And we talk to him every Thursday here. Thank you, Jason. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, see you guys.
Bye-bye.
And you should get a glimpse here. I mean, this is the time, right? I mean, even LeBron said it. And, of course, you know, when LeBron says it, he has to listen. He says it's playoff time, right? These last 25 games, there should be, after the All-Star break, there should be a better sense of urgency. Even on this seven-game road trip, you expect to see the intensity turned up a little bit, because this is when good teams, playoff teams, deep-run playoff teams, start to separate from the pack.
Yeah, it is, but this is kind of like... This is like a backhanded compliment to the Blazers. Or maybe it's not even backhanded. It's just that I feel like they have a level of intensity that is pretty good and consistent all year, to the point where I think they're kind of already there. You know? I mean, I don't know if that's a backhanded compliment or not. I think it's just a compliment that, like, they're one of the teams in the league, and they have been this way since Damian Lillard, you know, since Aldridge left and Lillard's been the star with Stotts the coach. They have been really consistent energy and effort wise. And so I think that's already there. I just think at this point, you now have the entire league equaling out. In other words, the teams that were coasting now know. LeBron even said it. He knows he can't anymore. He's got to crank it up. I believe his word was, he said the intensity level will be activated.
Yes.
Like he's some sort of superhero, which is hilarious.
Well, he kind of is.
But it's true. Yeah, his cape is on. So yeah. Here we go. We'll see how that goes. But I think other teams do that too. So now that evens out. And so this, to me, is interesting to watch and see how, can the Blazers beat the better teams? Again, they always beat the worst teams. But the good teams, like Brooklyn's a pretty good team. Yeah. This road trip is good teams.
Yeah, Brooklyn's what, a game or two above 500?
It's just this is where kind of the rubber meets the road, and then in the playoffs is a totally different animal. So this is a really big, big stretch here, this road trip and then the final 25 games. And then, of course, this playoffs, I mean, it could all be hinging on if they get to the second round of this playoffs, or else if they don't.
Yeah, could you lose Stotts? Thing, could you lose the GM, bro?
If they don't, this thing could be completely blown up outside of Damian Lillard. And I looked it up. The Blazers on the road, because Quick was saying they're just a bad road team and have been. So this year they're 10-15. Last year they were actually a winning road team. They were 21-20. But the year before, 16-25. The year before that, 16-25. And the year before that, 19-22.
Well, you've said it all along, right? They're a star team with a bunch of role players, and we hear it all the time. Role players just play better at home.
That's right. All right, so Jason Quick every Thursday, typically at 5:30, and he'll go back to 5:30 beginning next week as Duck basketball rolls into March. It is 3:50. Back to Zion Talk on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, I enjoyed LeBron's interview the other day, man. His intensity level has been activated. It's like Tiger Woods activating his glutes. These guys are so hilarious. But LeBron, he's right.
LeBron is the number one athlete that I feel can do this in sports. Where
oh, he does it every year.
Yeah, he just coasts. He's been to, what, 7 or 8 straight finals. He's not playing hard in the regular season.
Let's not act like that's new. I mean, Shaq was the king of that. Like, guys know. I mean, 82 games is a long long time, and the good teams, they know. Kobe did it. He just hit it better.
Well, and that's what pissed off Kobe so much about Shaq is Shaq would always come into the season fat and out of shape, and he took the first, 50 games of the season to get in shape, and then come playoff time, he was a gall darn monster. And for a guy like Kobe, that didn't work. Yeah, like, he wanted Shaq to come in and be dedicated to it, and he just wasn't.
But LeBron has his Superman cape on now, so let's see what that means.
So I still think social media, right? He goes off social media, he gets all focused.
And he said, I saw his interview, he said that it's earlier than he wants as well.
It's because he knows that if he's not careful, they're not going to make the playoffs.
He's like, oh, damn it, I gotta flip the switch now. This is way too early. Well, but it's funny. So I still think the Lakers make the playoffs.
Well, before he got hurt, they were in 4th, right? And then he went down with the 17, 18 games with the groin, and now they're in 10th. And you know, the Clippers, who were supposed to be a non-factor after they dumped everybody, they're still hanging around. The Kings are playing well. And so you're chasing two teams that don't – I think the Clippers will eventually fade, but Sacramento's a good young team.
Give him – let's see. He's got Houston tonight. They are at New Orleans, at Memphis, New Orleans, then Milwaukee, Phoenix, and then the Clippers. Yeah, give him a week. Okay, so March 4th. After that Clippers game on March 4th, I bet we're talking about them completely different.
Yeah, they'll get
there. Everybody's like, oh no, here he comes.
Lakers are dangerous.
All right, well.
I wouldn't want to play him in the first round because LeBron.
Let's get back on track here. Well, I think if you're the Warriors, you don't care.
Well, no. But yeah, if you're anyone else, you don't want to face LeBron in the first round.
All right, well, let's talk some Zion. You want to talk some Zion?
Zion Williamson, the greatest thing in the history of mankind.
Dude, he's pretty awesome. Which is why last night was disappointing.
Well, they were paying, $3,000 to get in the game, and he was out there for 20, 30 seconds?
That sucked.
And then his shoe went?
I mean, that couldn't have been any worse for anybody involved.
No. Nike.
Except for North Carolina.
Nike looked like a fool, right?
The fans, the TV.
The entire sport was taking a beating. I couldn't believe the outcry, though, of emotion. There's a million reasons to hate the NCAA. Believe me, no one hates it more than I do. That thing is such a crooked sham. But this was the one that somehow broke the internet. He's day-to-day. He's not dead. His knee's not blown out. This was like Ferris Bueller's day off when their like local community rallies around 16. He's okay, people. He had a shoe malfunction.
All right, get to that next. It's 358 on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.